Why you should have got that cybersecurity degree. I'm David Brancaccio. The Colonial Gasoline, Diesel, and Aviation Fuel Pipeline is back working after the cyber attack for ransom. So fuel is apparently moving, but it could be days before supplies balance back out. That means the disappointing stops at dry gas stations will continue for many today. Federal energy officials are talking about new cybersecurity regulations for pipeline companies. Separately, President Biden yesterday signed an order directing the government to come up with a grading system for software and hardware companies that sell to the federal government, which some have likened to a kind of cybersecurity version of restaurant health grades. In this environment, demand is growing for cybersecurity experts, but as Marketplace's Samantha Fields reports, there are not enough to go around.
The U.S. needs at least 360,000 more cybersecurity professionals. That's according to Claire Rosso, CEO of the professional association ISC Squared.
And so it really is a matter of the supply not being able to keep up with the demand. And the demand is growing at exponential rates.
Cybersecurity is still a relatively new field, Rosso says. And
a lot of businesses don't truly understand what their cybersecurity needs are.
The number of people going into cybersecurity is growing, says Chris Bronk at the University of Houston.
We had 100% growth in my graduate program last year.
But Bronk says it's going to take a while to get enough workers trained.
And we have a very hard time finding educators who can teach this stuff.
In part because the people who have the skills also have other options. All those open, often lucrative jobs in the industry. I'm Samantha Fields for Marketplace.
Whoa, you can buy a Tesla with Bitcoin? Actually, not anymore. The Bitcoin system requires enormous amounts of energy, and now Tesla CEO Elon Musk has seen the irony of Bitcoin to sell a car that might have helped with climate change. Marketplace's Nova Safo is following this.
Yeah, David, Elon Musk is citing environmental concerns in reversing course at Tesla, and this has to do with how Bitcoin is created. Now, computers have to solve puzzles to make Bitcoins. The more Bitcoin is worth, the more computers get put on the network to mine one. And the system is designed so that the more computers are on the network, the more difficult the puzzles get. So you can see how this can consume more and more energy. And critics of this process point to China because Chinese Bitcoin miners dominate the network and they use a lot of coal-based electricity to power their computers.
And the CO2 comes out. Now, we could have told Mr. Musk about Bitcoin and energy use. It is not a new concern. So why has the Tesla boss changed his mind now?
Well, the timing is interesting, right? Musk tweeted a chart that showed energy usage skyrocketing over the last few months alone in making Bitcoin. So he's pointing to that. But weren't we just talking about Musk and another cryptocurrency on Monday, David? And that currency is Dogecoin. He's been increasingly talking up that one. And in announcing his Bitcoin move, Musk did say Tesla's looking at other cryptocurrencies. Does that mean Dogecoin? Who knows? But Musk did make clear that he's still backing cryptocurrencies as an idea. Also, Tesla bought about $1.5 billion worth of Bitcoin in February. They're worth more now. Musk says they will maintain those holdings.
All right, Nova, thank you. The surprisingly high consumer price index yesterday suggested to market players that higher interest rates are ahead. This helps savers, but can pull money into bonds out of stocks. And the Dow yesterday fell 681.2%. The S&P fell by a similar percentage. The NASDAQ fell 2.7%. It was the biggest drop for the Dow and the S&P since October. The S&P future is down 0.4% now. The benchmark 10-year interest rate rose in the last 24 hours, 1.7% now. The real estate brokerage Compass posted its quarterly results late yesterday. Sales and market share up, but profits not so much. Compass and competitor Realogy are among the companies fiercely going at each other in what is a red-hot real estate market in many parts of the country. Marketplace's Amy Scott reports.
It's a good time to be in the real estate services business. Rick Palacios Jr. is director of research with John Burns Real Estate Consulting. He says, consider the sheer number of home sales.
We're forecasting 6.5 million this year, roughly 7 million next year.
That's existing home sales. And each of those transactions typically generates a 6% commission split between the buyer's and seller's agents, plus title insurance and escrow and other closing costs.
There's really this kind of smorgasbord of fees throughout the housing food chain. I think a lot of these companies are trying to become these kind of one-stop shops to capture that.
That's why Realogy Holdings, which owns the brands Coldwell Banker, Century 21, and Sotheby's, has been expanding its mortgage and title business. Compass has also been bulking up its real estate services. Then there's the competition for talent. Since it was founded in 2012, Compass has grown to more than 19,000 agents through aggressive recruiting and acquisitions.
It's been somewhat of a feeding frenzy competing for the best of the best agents, because you immediately have a Rolodex of transaction potential.
And the bigger the brokerage, the better its chances of doing business on both sides of the deal. Ralph McLaughlin is chief economist at real estate finance company House. He says in a seller's market like this one,
if you have a listing, you're going to get a sale, right? Because demand is so high.
But with the supply of homes for sale so low,
if you're representing a buyer, there's a chance that, you know, it's going to take several months for them to close that deal and get you that commission.
According to the National Association of Realtors, the country has more real estate agents right now than homes for sale. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
So again, after the S&P and the Dow fell by the most since October, S&P, Dow, and NASDAQ futures are down a bit this morning. I'm David Brancaccio, Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.